Good morning. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. The scripture lessons that I will be reading shortly are as follows. Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to 21. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9, and the closing hymn, 428, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us his only Son to die, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of thy just judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living, here and dwell with you forever and ever hereafter, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We confess our faith according to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The readings. The Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. Verses 10 and 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So far. The Epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent of glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day of dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So far. The Gospel, Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9, which is the basis for my sermon. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell this vision to no one, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So far. As we know, great events have occurred on mountaintops. When the flood subsided, Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat. When God called Moses, he appeared to him in a burning bush on Mount Horeb. The 10 commandments were given on Mount Sinai, and the transfiguration of Christ is thought to have taken place on Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor. We are told Jesus took Peter, James, and John up with him into a high mountain. And while there, Jesus was transfigured before them. An actual change in Christ himself took place. The human body, the human nature of Christ was glorified. The entire body of Christ for a brief time was allowed to shine forth with the light of heavenly glory. We furthermore read that Moses and Elijah appeared and that they spoke with Christ. And we learn from Luke that the topic of their conversation was the approaching death of Jesus. Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets. You see, every acceptable sacrifice of the Mosaic law was acceptable only through the sacrifice of Christ. Every hope for fulfillment rested on Christ. And at this moment, when silence was in order for the 3 disciples, Peter, who never did have the gift of silence, and wishing to say something when nothing needed to be said, made a foolish remark, to build 3 tabernacles, one for Christ, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while Peter was yet speaking, the voice of the Father from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard these words, they were afraid. And they fell on their face. And then Jesus reassured them with these words. He said, Arise, and don't be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, while there are many aspects of the transfiguration we may not understand, there is still a lot we can gather from the story itself. The transfiguration certainly had great meaning for Jesus. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, had been sent into this world on a mission. And this mission involved the salvation of mankind. And to accomplish it, Christ was made subject to the moral law for us. At the transfiguration, God the Father said of Christ, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. From these words, we learn that the Heavenly Father approved the work Jesus had come to perform and was in the process of doing. The completion of his entire work of redemption was rapidly approaching. Christ's suffering and death were looming up in the near future. And by laying down his life for sinners, Christ was doing something which was well-pleasing to God. And to Christ, it was reassuring and encouraging to have his Father speak of him and glorify him. Now, the work of redemption, while accomplished for us by the Son of God, was a work of love on the part of the triune God. The transfiguration of Christ was a stamp of approval which God placed on Jesus and his redemptive work. The chief purpose of the presence of the three disciples was not to support Christ so much, but it was for their sake. The transfiguration was to do something for them, and at the moment they really didn't understand it. It didn't mean that much to them when Jesus was taken captive, when he was condemned, and when he was crucified. But after the day of Pentecost, it did aid them to preach about Christ with greater conviction. Jesus had told them, after they came down from the mountain, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen again." And I'm sure these words were soon forgotten. But on Pentecost, the Spirit of God, whom Jesus sent to them, must have brought this incident to their remembrance. So also the transfiguration of Christ emphasizes certain truths for us, which we are to believe and by which we are to live and die. First of all, it establishes for us that Christ is the Son of God, because the Father himself said, "This is my beloved Son." And while we should think of Christ as true man, we should never forget that the Christ of Nazareth, the Christ of Gethsemane, the Christ of Calvary, was and is the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory. Secondly, it establishes for us that Jesus is the one and only mediator between God and us. The Father says to us concerning him, "Hear ye him." We must listen to his voice of teaching and obey his command. Thirdly, it establishes for us that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior, because the Father says of him, "In whom I am well pleased." The Father sent Jesus for a purpose, namely to save us from sin, death, and hell. Christ's work was satisfactory to God the Father. God's wrath had to be appeased. God's law had to be fulfilled. And by nature, we were not on that mountaintop where the air is pure and the vision is clear. We are in, or we were in, spiritual darkness because of our sins. We had to be raised from this natural level of evil, and we could not do this by ourselves. It was done entirely by the Spirit of God through word and sacrament. We had to hear him. Through God's law, we learned to know ourselves as sinners. Through the gospel, we learned to know Jesus as our Savior. Now, while there remains many things we do not understand, we know and believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. And finally, the day will come when we will be with the Lord. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we shall dwell with him in glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us now have confession and absolution. I now ask you before God who searches your heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, "I do confess." And verily you should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, "I do repent." And verily you should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman, the prodigal son, and many others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. And verily you should believe. For Holy Scripture declares God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost, you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise. And verily you should promise. For Christ the Lord says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. And as you believe, even so may be it unto you. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, and that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide to the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.